Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of this program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
This is Jim Petzer, your host on The Raw Deal on this 5th of April, 2024, right here on Revolution Radio Live. Today's show has a more complex than normal structure. I have three guests here, my co-host, John Carman, of course, and Danny Siris is also here. We're during the second segment, we're going to complete our discussion of the fall of Minneapolis. But I'm also joined by Von Klingenberg, who will join at the top. Well, he's here now, but we'll begin our conversation at the top of the second hour about his alternative to conventional voting. I think you'll find all of this quite fascinating. I begin, however, with international news. The CIA is warning that Iran is going to attack Israel within 48 hours as revenge for the strike on the consulate. Frankly, this appears to be a false report that's intended to lay the ground for an attack that would be carried out by the United States or Israel in order to justify an assault on Iran, my interpretation. Here's the story. The CIA has reportedly warned Israel that Iran is planning to attack within the next 48 hours. This warning comes after Israel launched a strike on Tehran's consulate in Damascus, Syria, resulting in the death of two Iranian military commanders, plus other personnel. Iran has promised to retaliate for the attack. Reports suggest that Iran plans to launch a combined attack using drones and missiles from its bases at strategic locations inside of Israel. The news follows concerns raised by U.S. officials the Israeli strike could trigger a broader conflict in the Middle East. Ralph Goff, former senior CIA official worked in the Middle East, criticized Israel's strike as reckless, warning it would lead to escalation by Iran and its allies. What you have to understand is the attack on the consulate, because at consulates and embassies around the world are the sovereign territory of the nations they represent. This Israeli strike on the consulate wasn't just on a building in Syria. It was on the sovereign territory of the Islamic Republic of Iran. There are multiple other stories here. Iran to bomb Israel within 48 hours. We got it on YouTube as well. And here's big attack on Iran by Israel within 48 hours from Middle East Observer. Buzz in Middle East media about Tehran's thunderous response. Iran enraged since Israel killed top Quds commanders. There's a lot about it going on out there. So we're going to have to stand by and see what comes of it. But do not be surprised if there should be a fake attack, meaning a staged attack, not that real people wouldn't really die in this kind of a false flag event, but that would be used to set up a response against Iran, in which case all hell is going to break loose. Iran has a massive arsenal. They got over 3,000 very precise ballistic missiles, meaning they have refined the precision with which they can land to within a meter of the target. I mean, there's just no question about Iran. They also have a massive variety of drones. I think Israel would be in over its head. Would the United States come to assist? Would Russia come to the aid of Iran? I have more confidence in the latter than I do in the former. The United States has been put in a very awkward position because of the Israeli retaliation, the Israeli slaughter of the Palestinians. In fact, it has gone so far that we even have Biden making an urgent phone call to Netanyahu. Biden demands immediate ceasefire from Netanyahu in phone call. Listen to this. President Joe Biden demanded an immediate ceasefire from Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu in a phone call on Thursday. That would be yesterday. Between the two leaders, threatening the loss of U.S. support for the war of Israel does not comply. In a statement, the White House said, President Biden spoke by telephone with Prime Minister Netanyahu. The two leaders discussed the situation in Gaza. President Biden emphasized that the strikes on humanitarian workers and the overall humanitarian situation are unacceptable. He made clear the need for Israel to announce and implement a series of specific, concrete, and measurable steps to address civilian harm, humanitarian suffering, and the safety of aid workers. He made clear that U.S. policy with respect to Gaza will be determined by our assessment of Israel's immediate action on these steps. He underscored that an immediate ceasefire is essential to stabilize and improve the humanitarian situation and protect innocent civilians, and he urged the prime minister to empower his negotiation and conclude a deal without delay to bring the hostages home. The two leaders also discussed public Iranian threats against Israel and the Israeli people. President Biden made clear that the United States strongly supports Israel in the face of those threats. Now, you might think this is because Biden has had a moment, a realization about the brutality, the savagery of the genocide. No, not on your life. It's because American opinion has turned against Israel. American opinion is no longer supportive. The genocide had become too massive, too extensive, reporting 24/7 the slaughter of these people. Very, very bad. Here, the Gray Zone talks about it too. Maybe we can get
a. What we're witnessing in the U.S. is a serious political shift, which is moving the U.S. political establishment gradually away from this ironclad defense of Israel's interests, to the point where you have only 18% of registered Democrats supporting Israel's Gaza genocide, Israel's war in Gaza. Only 18%. In a generation, it will be 0.8%, maybe 8%. I mean, the boomers live forever, but they're not even supporting it. Republican support for Israel's operation in Gaza has gone down 10 points in the last 2 months. Independent support is now at a bare minority and has dropped over 20 points. Of course, we don't live in a real democracy, but there will come a point when the U.S. will not provide Israel with a protective umbrella. And at that point, you will see the enemies that Israel has engendered rain down furious rebukes, as it said in the book of Ezekiel. And it's not going to be pretty. They're setting the stage for that right now. I really think Al-Aqsa flood, October 7th, is just the preview of something bigger and more severe. Enjoy your time on the beach in Tel Aviv while it lasts. I just, under this current leadership, there isn't really any long-term planning.
Let me add, we have another report, and then I'll seek some comments from John and Danny. To wit, McGregor reports that Israel is desperate to provoke a war with Iran. But get this, what do we have? The Kremlin itself is saying Russia-NATO relations are at the level of direct confrontation. Now, that's not just some casual bystander's opinion. That is from the Kremlin. Russia and NATO are now in direct confrontation, the Kremlin said, as the U.S. alliance marked its 75th anniversary Thursday. NATO's successive waves of Eastern enlargement are a fixation of President Vladimir Putin. Went to war in Ukraine 2 years ago with a stated aim of preventing the alliance from coming closer to Russian borders. Instead, the war has galvanized NATO. This is clearly written from a NATO perspective, which has expanded again with the entry of Finland and Sweden. Kremlin spokesman Dmitry Peskov told reports, in fact, relations have now slipped to the level of direct confrontation. NATO is already involved in the conflict surrounding Ukraine and continues to move toward our border and expand its military infrastructure toward our borders. In fact, and it's incredible to me, but Anthony Blinken, the United States Secretary of State, has declared that Ukraine will become a member of NATO, as though this war were in a direct contradiction of that effort. And by the way, we also have multiple reports that Ukraine front lines are on the verge of collapse. How in the world NATO thinks they could salvage an unsalvageable situation is beyond me. John, would you like to offer your thoughts on all the above?
Excuse me. Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, go right ahead.
Yeah, I was thinking about all that stuff you were saying. I worked in the embassy detail security when I was in Washington, D.C. in Secret Service, so I'm very familiar with sovereignty and all those other issues, and I protected all those embassies, including Israel. But I'm very concerned about this because as it heats up, any kind of attacks against Iran, because they want to do a proxy war by attacking their neighbors because Iran is funding all the Hamas and the terrorist groups. Syria is a key country to look at. This ties in with biblical stuff, Gog, Magog, Megiddo, and all this other stuff. But Syria is a very focal point because it's a controlling country at the top before you get to Israel. And if you remember when Trump called up Putin and gave him an hour's warning because he was going to drop the special bomb, the Moab, mother of all bombs or whatever it was.
Yep.
It was a military base in Syria, and he gave them an hour's notice as a courtesy to get their people out of there before he dropped it. That disrupted their ability to fly jets and other types of equipment in Syria. So Syria, with Assad and all those other guys, it's all continuing to that area. Once it gets to that control area, then they're going to go to the right of those countries, which brings in Iraq and all the other ones. But I don't know. Maybe they're not contacting Bibi like I used to. You know, maybe they blocked his email.
Danny, you know. Danny. Thanks, John. Danny, give us your thoughts.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Hello, sir. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, indeed. Go ahead.
Well, you know, I'd like to go back to the beginning of what you said about Americans not supporting the whole thing as it is. I'm going to refer back to the beginning to when we critiqued the video that Israel released in the very beginning of this with the Hamas from the demolition explosions. I'd like to point out to the building falling down with nobody in it. We can see the control demolition of the building. So obviously somebody planted explosives. I'd like to point out that they set off a small explosive on the top of the roof to simulate some kind of a explosive coming in ordinance. Which was fake. It was nothing but a puff of smoke. There was no debris during the explosion. And then I'd like to point out all the fakery videos that we went through where we showed the edits in the video. We can show the uniforms they were wearing, the equipment. We can show...
Danny, I don't want to talk about that yet. We're going to pick that up at the bottom of the hour. I just want your views on these international developments.
Well, I mean, you know, I'm just, all I can say, sir, is I'm really tired of this Israel Palestine situation, and I don't support it. I don't support this war whatsoever.
Yes.
And I think that Netanyahu needs to call it off and stop bombing these innocent people.
Yes. Vaughn, did you have thoughts about this that you would like to toss into the hopper?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yes, indeed.
Okay. The one thing I would just like to mention is about the framing of the issue to the American public. It's called the Hamas Israeli war. The simple fact of the matter is, of the 30,000 plus people who have died, over half have been women and children. So they're being very disingenuous in trying to present the war as Israel targeting Hamas, when I think they're actually deliberately targeting women and children also.
Yeah.
In the ultimate goal of getting Egypt or some other countries to take the Palestinian population.
Well, with the ultimate goal of either killing them all or having them leave, abandon Palestine. In other words, the whole point is expulsion or death of Palestinians from the lands of Palestine.
Exactly. You are correct.
I think you make a great point, and this is all very, very deliberate. Meanwhile, NATO seeks to Trump-proof Ukraine aid. This is from Responsible Statecraft. Extremely interesting. In a new plan announced this week, the alliance want to make sure there won't be any attempt to reduce weapons and assistance to Ukraine under a new administration. April 4th marked the 75th anniversary of the signing of the North Atlantic Treaty by the foreign ministers of the original 12 members of the NATO alliance. And rather serendipitously, it was reported this week that NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg has proposed standing up a new $100 billion fund to help Ukraine continue its effort against the Russian invasion just in time for the anniversary. While only in the planning stage, the so-called Mission for Ukraine proposal would also see NATO take control of the Ramstein Group, which the U.S. set up to coordinate military supplies for Ukraine. This particular aspect of the plan immediately met with a cold shoulder by the White House yesterday. The alliance support for the proposal, which seeks to Trump-proof support for the Ukraine war in the event a former president is reelected and seeks to pull the plug on U.S. funding for Ukraine, is split along lines one might expect, with support coming from the Baltic, Poland, and the Washington Post opposition from Hungary. Critics, such as the legendary American diplomat Chas Freeman, say the plan is simply a case of throwing good money, in this case, borrowed money, after bad. Vaughn, what do you think about that? It seems to me that's exactly what they're trying to do. They're worried that Trump's going to pull the plug. We've even had Lloyd Austin, our Secretary of State, declare the United States is not going to let Ukraine lose the war. And yet we have all kinds of reports that the front lines in Ukraine are collapsing. Vaughn.
Yeah, you are correct. I mean, the governing oligarchy and political establishment, I don't believe they're going to stop funding until possibly after the next election. They're not going to admit they were wrong. That's the last thing they're going to do. So my prediction is that they will try to continue to fund the completely pointless and horrendous military and political financing of Ukraine until after the next election. Because, like I said, they can't admit to the public that they got it so wrong.
Yeah, and I think it's all collapsing. Ukraine doesn't have a defensible position. The catch being, too, if the United States, by the way, were to get drawn into a war against Iran, the United States has already depleted its munitions and resources by supporting Ukraine. So I think the situation is pretty much a predicament for the United States and for NATO. Danny, your thoughts on this issue?
Well, I agree with Vaughn, sir. I mean, I think they're going to keep funding it into oblivion. You know, it's just a constant thing. I remember not too long ago, Kennedy coming out, and he admitted that Mitch McConnell told him, hey, we got to stop sending. He told Mitch McConnell, we got to stop sending money over here to Ukraine. You know, the American citizens don't want this. And his response was, hey, don't worry about it. You know, we're sending a lot of money over there, but we're getting a lot of this money back to us through a bunch of different contractors. So don't worry about it. Keep supporting it. So basically, he admitted to them that they were money laundering our money.
That's a great point.
What exactly is going on here?
Danny, that's such a great point. And the problem is all the money that the government spends, even if it's on illegals and giving them free room and board, counts toward the GDP. Thus, we get the absurd argument that the mass immigration of the illegals is good for the economy because the GDP is growing, notwithstanding the fact that they have no skill set, no interest. They're not going to contribute to the United States at all. It's a fraud. And as you're observing, a tremendous amount of this money has been recycled into the military-industrial complex, making them fat and happy, but doing no good for the United States as a whole. John, your thoughts?
No, I agree with that. I've been saying that all along. It's a front. This is what these Democrats do. They go start another war, recycle our tax slave money into the billions and trillions of dollars. The intel, of course, is that, oh, yeah, Vladimir Zelensky's got a nice $35 million home over in Miami or Florida. Of course, the Russians know where he's at all times anyway as well. But they're doing it all the time. 10% for the big guy. There you go. Funnel the money into a false operation. Just like Danny just said, then you've got contractors. They're making money off of it. It's the war machine, the military-industrial complex, as Eisenhower warned us back in the 50s. Same thing over and over again. And if you got one thing going on over there, they'll start another one over to another direction, which is like what's going on in Haiti. We've got boots on the ground in Haiti right now. So there's always an excuse, but I'm always telling people, watch Iran, even in apocalyptic stuff, even in religious stuff, even in Nostradamus, looking for the guy with the blue turbans. You know, and then India, people are being quiet about India. India is a nuclear power. Biden is buddying up with these guys, too. They're right in the middle of all this stuff. You see what I mean? Watch India, because things will happen. So I'm just throwing other basic intel from other directions, but Iran is a very big enemy. And the last time I remember, Bibi sent a couple of jets over there to destroy one of their alleged underground nuclear facilities to destroy the weapons-grade plutonium and nuclear rockets. I think it was right before Obama sent millions and millions of dollars over there so they could upgrade their weapons.
Yes, and of course, domestically in the United States, these lawfare issues, these cases against Trump, are getting a huge amount of publicity. I think it's because we have the campaign in progress, because we're going to have a vote in November, assuming it's allowed to take place. And Trump looks as though he's going to crunch Biden. He's leading in all six of the swing states. And when you throw in RFK Jr., Trump's lead increases. In other words, those who worried RFK Jr. was going to draw more votes away from Trump than from Biden appear to have been mistaken, according to the latest poll results. And I think for that reason, Jack Smith and the other miscreants who are involved in these legal cases are hoping against hope they can get somewhere, maybe get a conviction before the election takes place, because they think it's going to assist them. We have the absurdity of a former aide rejecting the idea that the lawsuits improve his popularity. I guarantee you the lawsuits have improved his popularity. Everyone can see they're phony, they're fraudulent. Those of us who have had dealings with the law, and of course a large segment of the black community feels it's been dealt with unjustly by the law, see this rich white guy being dealt with unjustly by the law, and they resonate, they relate to that. But I can't begin to tell you how many stories I got here about these legal cases, and they're going to increase in frequency and intensity because they were all designed for the purpose of election interference. None of them is bona fide. None of them is warranted on the basis of the evidence or the law. Vaughn, your thoughts about all these cases?
No, I agree with you 100%, and I think the public agrees with you as well that, you know, there's a witch hunt against Trump, and I'm not any particular fan of Trump. I have certain issues with his policies, but no, it's transparent that there that the political establishment is weaponized, especially the judicial department, to go after Trump and to ensure that he doesn't become the next candidate for president of the United States with the Republicans. So yes, you are 100% correct.
Danny?
Can I give you a specific
example? Yeah, sure, John. Was the go
Pat Alvin Bragg, prosecutor in New York?
Sure.
Because he was the one that said he knew that the case against Trump was outdated or maybe beyond the statute of limitations. He didn't care. That's a quote. He didn't care. He just wants to interrupt the whole system. So that's Fat Alvin Bragg over in New York. So it ties in with what specifics that Vaughn just brought up. And now Danny. Go ahead, Danny. Sorry.
No. Go ahead, Danny.
Well, sure. You know, in speaking about the Trump prosecutions, I mean, there's been so much corruption. I'd like to point out, I don't even like saying her name anymore, but the $1 million that she gave her boyfriend, you know, which looked like money laundering to me, to prosecute Trump. And then he turned around and took the money and took her on some lavish vacations with those tax dollars that was given to her. I mean, all these prosecutions have really been a disdain to the American people. Everybody can see the fraud. Everybody can see what's going on. The trial with no jury allowed, you know, was a complete farce. They broke every rule there is in the book. I mean, all of it so far has looked like such a kangaroo court. Television has been more accurate, TV shows more accurate than all the rules and the procedures that they're breaking. And this is resonating amongst the American people. It's just showing their cards on how corrupt.
Okay, stand by. We're going to have a break, and then Danny and I are going to complete our discussion of the fall of Minneapolis. You don't want to miss. We'll be right back.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, Danny, we want to continue with your brilliant critique of the fall of Minneapolis, where even those who are trying to expose what was going on didn't get a ride. We have established already that the videos we've been shown were fabrications taken on different dates, that the cops who were involved were actually actors wearing uniforms that didn't even have the proper insignia or badges, that the whole process of bringing up the ambulance with the police rather than EMTs or handling the body was shabby and wrong, that the body in the open casket does not appear to have been the same as the figure who was arrested, that he was complaining that he couldn't breathe already in the back of the seat of the squad car, so that it does not appear as though the emergency or the maximal restraint procedure that was being used by the officer even contributed to his death. And here we're looking at a slide of white privilege. I mean, George Floyd, who's black, only got one knee on the neck. Here you got white privilege, you get two knees. Danny, pick it up from here, my friend.
Yes, sir. I'm glad you got the photographs, because we went through the photos the other day and some of the anomalies, you know, and I see you have one of the photos there of them hauling them off on a stretcher in the ambulance. And we didn't get to it the other day, but you can see that particular picture looks like a mannequin on the stretcher. It was one of the outtakes that we found in the editing and the video.
Yeah,
you can see that his arms are missing. And it looks kind of, he looks kind of waxy. If you go down a couple, go down one more, you'll see.
Here it is, Danny.
Watch this on video.
Yeah,
you'll see that the body on that stretcher is some sort of a resuscitation dummy. If you look at the arms are pinned, are missing. There's no.
They are. The arms are missing. Yes. Love it, Danny.
They're missing. So I'd like to point out the absurdity of this. So
yeah.
Anybody that possibly could come along and said, well, you know, maybe they made an accident when they made the video and they put a dummy in there, or the news crew did that. No. That's not what we're looking at. This is very significant, this photo, sir, because that is a mannequin.
Yes.
That is not a real actor. Or the porn actor's not on that stretcher. That is a mannequin with no arms and not a real person.
Why
in the heck are they putting forward a fake mannequin and trying to push that off as a real person, sir? That one is very significant.
And Danny, I flip back to the open casket where it's clear missing legs. I mean, and that mannequin only appears to be an upper torso. It does not appear to have any legs either. John, you wanted to add a word?
Yeah, because I'm very familiar with the case, and I'm martial arts trained. I was a former cop. I've done the techniques. And in this picture, before you go to the next or whatever, those kind of stretchers, if he was cuffed up at the time when they put him up there, his arms are going to be behind his body, which means you're not going to see the rest of his arm. The opinion about it being a mannequin, that's a separate opinion. But I'm telling you from experience that if he was cuffed up still, his arms are going to be under the main part.
John, if he had his arm behind his back cuffed, his body would be completely different on the stretcher. This is a mannequin. Listen, I've demonstrated this elsewhere. It was a Sigma 7 African-American torso for windpipe training. I mean, I've shown this elsewhere. So what we're getting here from these is confirmation about the extent of the fraud. Danny, continue, please. We have this. Well, go ahead.
I'd like to just add to also to that photo. It's customary, sir, that when they put a prisoner, if you would, on a stretcher like that, he's unconscious. They don't cuff him behind his back and throw him on the stretcher like that. They take the cuffs off. The very worst, they will cuff him to the stretcher. They have an officer ride in the thing. So you can clearly see if his arms were cuffed behind his back, you would still be able to see them, going behind
right.
his back. So that picture right there is clearly a mannequin of some sort.
Yeah, and it's devastating.
You can call it whatever you want to call it, but it's not the same actor that's in that video.
And it's devastating because, as you observed during our previous conversation 2 days ago, these are not EMTs. These are officers. These are actors wearing officer uniforms. I mean, and even, body armor. I mean, Danny, this is bad. This is a very, very telling photograph.
Hey, guys, I also want to suggest that when the officer, the original officer that they... Davin, that got convicted. His badge wasn't even on his shirt properly, which is weird.
John, we went through that in detail on Wednesday. Okay. So, yeah, just stand by while we, and then I'll pick you up for comments as we proceed. Go right ahead, Danny. Then we had this woman here. This was this the one who was supposed to be the former firefighter, Danny?
That's her, the heavy set woman. She was sitting there yelling obscenities at the policeman, being very unprofessional if she was really a fireman. And she's yelling at them, trying to tell them how to take him into custody and how to do their job, and yelling out, "I'm a fireman, I'm a fireman." I mean, I just don't see that happening in the real life. I know plenty of firemen. I don't see any of them acting out like that, you know. If any of them, they would jump in and try to help the police take the guy in custody, but they're not going to sit there and yell out obscenities and give direction like that. And then, you know, of course, I looked her up. I'd like to point out, sir, that I looked her up, and I couldn't find her on any of the rosters. And when I did find the person, and I did find them, I only found one in the state with that name that lived approximately an hour and a half away from Minneapolis. And I was able to confirm through records that it wasn't even this person that we see in this photograph. Again, to be fair, the name did exist. It did exist. But when I found it and tracked it down, it went to another female that was close to the same age. But it was not this person right here. This person right here, I could never find her in any of the city records, on any of the rosters. I could not find her licensed as a firefighter in the state whatsoever. So I found that to be highly strange.
Well,
that's kind of par for the course.
One more crisis actor, Danny. One more crisis actor. And here, of course, you got the photograph. Tell us about these four. I think all four of them are fake or what? Tell us.
Here's this I call the third Derek Chauvin, sir, that I talked about
right.
the other day. You can see the one officer, the Asian officer, they changed out on the right. So that doesn't look like the same guy. He's skinnier. He's a little shorter, and he looks different to me in the video as a different person. But the big one is the Derek Chauvin character. Now, we covered that in detail the other day, how the nose is different. On the real character, John just mentioned his badge is crooked, and we did go over that detail. And the badge holder on the shirt isn't even on there. The badge is, he's got it, the actor has it pinned on his shirt and doesn't have the lapel holder that's sewn on the uniform that holds the badge nice and straight. But now we're looking at a picture of a second and a third Derek Chauvin. We have the one from the video on the right. That has the male pattern baldness. If you look at the cartilage in his ear, it's completely different than the other one. And we have the other actor put out by the media that through the show trial that came forward, where the nose is different, the jawline is completely different, the lips are different, the mouth is different, the hairline is different. There's so many things here, and maybe even John can weigh in on this, you know, because he knows how to spot the different characters going through mugshots or what. He's been trained in that. You can see that this is obvious and not the same person. And I was just thinking, what are they trying to do here? Trying to present, you know, one guy in the video. Then we see another guy after they're arrested, which you just showed. And now we have this guy during the trial. I mean, he keeps morphing his face like he's had plastic surgery. And some of these things you couldn't even change in plastic surgery. You can't change the ear. You can't change the hairline and the jawline and the way the hair grows and the shape of the nose and the mouth and the lips. I mean, it's almost comical, sir. Right here, this is enough to show that this thing was a hoax done with actors on different takes on different days. And when you see that, you know something is wrong with this event. It is not real, sir. It is staged.
Right. And here's the third Derek Chauvin. John, do you want to add about the three different crisis actors playing the role? Then I want to pick up Vaughn's comments. Go ahead, John.
Well, I was just going to comment. If that guy came through the border and I processed 4 to 5 million people at the border, I'm going to take him in because his profile picture does not match his ears unless he claimed he got ear surgery and they plastic surgery. No. It's obvious.
You can't do, sir. You can't. It turns out you can't do surgery on the ears. I don't know how to account for it, but I mean, maybe something minuscule, but in general, that is a reason why they're just as distinctive as fingerprints in identifying individuals.
Well, I separate the men from the boys all of the time. I debunk Elvis Presley stuff all the time because Elvis had smaller ears and they put this other guy's up. I said, that's it. It's not him. So it's easy. But I've been doing that for years, for, you know, 30 plus years in identification. But yeah, all the time, passports all day long, all day long.
You agree, John? We got three different actors here, right?
Well, I see two right now.
Well, here's the third.
Oh, okay, I get what you're saying.
Yeah, Danny, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to ask John for the record. I'm happy he's on today, and I appreciate his service and his expertise. And I would just ask him what you just asked him. John, would you agree that we're looking at three different characters that they're presenting as the policeman Derek Chauvin? Would you agree to that?
Well, yeah, and I've seen the real one in court, which is similar to the one on the photo now, but the other two are off, and then of course the two ears. So you've got a different ear shape even in this guy, but I'd have to have a close-up. But yeah, it's all screwed up.
Vaughn, give us your thoughts. You're only seeing a part. I mean, that's a disadvantage for you and John today. Danny and I are doing a wrap on what we spent nearly an hour and a half doing on Wednesday. So we've got through so many aspects of this. But just based on what you're seeing here and now, Vaughn, your thoughts.
Well, I did see The Fall of Minneapolis. I did see that video. And one thing that stood out for me, and you probably mentioned this earlier in your other program, I mean, just to show how wrong this trial was, the Minneapolis City Council approved a payment of $27 million to friends and family of George Floyd even before a jury was selected to try them. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I just want to emphasize that, you know, I mean, this was just a Stalinist show trial. And there's so many things wrong with it. You know, one thing I don't understand is why didn't the Lake Street Chamber of Commerce sue the city of Minneapolis or the governor for not calling out, national or troops to protect businesses? They just let the city burn.
Yeah.
You know, I know you had talked about this before, and I'm just adding some things that caught my attention when
that's,
I saw that.
That's right, Juan. Yeah. Or the role of the mayor, Mayor Fry, telling him to vacate the precinct, which has never happened in America before, giving up a police precinct to a mob. This guy, Fry, seemed to me to be really a pivot point, I mean, a puppet in this whole work. He was not standing up for Minneapolis. He obviously, to me, is a woke Democrat who's promoting the transgender and all the other happy horseshit. I find him and his role disgusting. Bon.
No, you're exactly correct. And I, I'm at a loss as to why, you know, businesses on Lake Street did not bring a lawsuit. I would have thought the lawyers would be eager to do that because it would be a slam dunk, but I don't know why no one has done that. So that's just a mystery for me. But
do you guys remember the Rodney King?
Yeah, John, go ahead, John.
It's in the playbook. It's another Rodney King incident. Same thing. They burnt the city. They did all the rioting. Based on the Rodney King incident, it's the same scenario. So that's what they do. They play it up again. They use it. They play it up. It's in the playbook.
And Danny, here we got the suspect on the ground. Remember, he was handcuffed behind his back, but now his hands in front of his body. He had hair when he was arrested and put in the car. Now he's bald. This appears to be when they substituted the training dummy, as I see it, but they must have thrown in the arm for good measure. Danny, your thoughts?
Well, that particular thing, I think we're still dealing with an actor there, but I'd like to point out, sir, you're right. If you can also show the other picture, but not yet. I want to talk about this picture. He doesn't have hair at this point. So, you know, at the beginning of the arrest, when they originally cuffed him, and we can clearly see the handcuffs going on, okay? Then when they walk him over the car and get into the struggle, and they're trying to get him into the car, okay, I want everyone to... This is not going to happen. One of the officers, the fake Derek Chauvin there, he's not going to reach down with a handcuff key during a struggle after they've made the arrest. Okay, the handcuffs are not going to come off. The only other reason I could think of those cuffs would ever come off if he was unconscious and he was going to go onto a gurney, maybe. Okay, but not during a struggle when he's fighting and they're trying to effect the arrest and get him in the car. So it's very clear right there that they removed the handcuffs for this shot. This was an editing mistake that was in the video. Okay, I was able to pull this out of the video, and there was just one or two frames. You had to be really quick and catch it. But they showed that the actor was using his hand on the ground to help position his body. Okay, and there's no handcuffs. The handcuffs are removed. And that would never... If a critical thinker comes along and says, well, how many times during a police struggle would they remove handcuffs from a suspect so then the suspect could then flail his arms around, fight a little bit more, be a little more effective, have a better chance of getting away, maybe grab an officer's weapon? No, they're never going to remove the handcuffs. They don't come off until the prisoner is taken to the jail. That's when the handcuffs are removed. All the way through the transport, the handcuffs stay on. That's just policy. They ride in the back of the police car. It's policy that prisoners are cuffed. With most agencies, they have to be cuffed when they're in the back of the car, at least to the front of the body in some cases. But most of the time to the back. Back, they're supposed to remain cuffed at all times. That's a policy with most agencies. And yet we can see this guy, with he was cuffed. I call this the magic handcuffs. Then the handcuffs come off, right? And then when we forwarded this scene, the cuffs are back on again. So who the heck is taking the cuffs on and off like this, okay? And I also like to point out, maybe John can even weigh in on this, the Asian officer that's standing to the left, okay? This is very key, sir. There's two points to this, okay? He is standing around half the time with his hands in his pockets. Okay, he's literally got his hand in his pocket while the struggle is going on. Okay, while the struggle, and that's key. Now, he's not a lieutenant or a captain or anything like that. He's a patrol officer. That's the guy that's missing his badge that's crooked, and it's some kind of badge sewn on his shirt. But he's just standing there observing while his fellow officers are trying to wrestle with a suspect and effect arrest. He's doing nothing. That would never happen, sir, from a seasoned officer that's trained. If a sergeant or somebody came by and saw somebody stand around with their hands in their pockets like that doing nothing, you would be scolded after the scene for standing there not offering to help.
Yeah.
That person should have been on the ground helping the other officers pick him up, put him in the car. When you're in a struggle like that, it's all hands on deck. Nobody stands around, sir, like that and does nothing.
I flip back to the arrest, and Danny, I flip back to the arrest where he's putting on the cuffs to show you have hair on the head there. when he's being arrested, but he's bald, lying on the ground. I mean, give me a break. This is insulting.
It's a different take, sir. It's a different day and a different take. We've already shown they shot this in different takes in different days. So that is a really good analogy going back and forth. If anyone critically thinks about it, how can he be arrested approximately 2 or 3 minutes before that, walk to the vehicle with hair on his head, okay, and then with handcuffs, I might add, then we see him on the ground with no handcuffs during the struggle, and his head is freshly shaved. Did the police shave his head during the struggle? No. No, of course not. That would be hilarious. Of course that didn't happen. And then the other point I'd like to point out critically is the Asian man who happens to be standing around, sir, doing nothing. There might be a reason for that. And here's what the reason is. He's an actor, sir. He doesn't really know what to do. He's there to fill the scene and look like he's doing something, but he's not doing anything. And one of the ways you can prove that he's an actor, and this is the part I'm looking forward to hearing from John about, is there's no magazine in his firearm. So when he went to work that day and got into the locker room, right, he put on his uniform, put on his safety equipment, right, he pulled his weapon from the holster, he chamber checked it, right, we all want to make sure that our weapon is loaded with a round in the chamber. We'll pinch check it or rack the slide. We put it in there, then we snap it in our holster for the day. Hopefully it stays there all day. We make sure that our weapon is loaded. Everything's good to go. We got our extra magazines on our belt. There's just little checks that you do before you go out on the street. Well, this officer, they want us to think that for some reason he was so busy today, sir. He was so busy that he forgot to put a magazine in his firearm. I can tell you right now, that's a common mistake among actors, that they forget to give them a dummy magazine. They're not going to let actors carry live rounds in a real weapon.
Yeah, like look.
This guy, they wouldn't even give him a magazine.
Look what happened with Alex Baldwin, for example. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Danny, good, good, good. Great, I love it.
I mean, come on, that's comical, sir. No magazine in his firearm. And this particular actor, sir, he's got the wrong uniform shirt on, and he's got a funny badge sewn on his shirt. It's like they ran out of, you know, badges, and they said, well, you don't need a badge. Here's a gun. Throw this gun on. We don't have a magazine for this gun. He's just an actor, sir. He doesn't know what to do because he's not really trained. He's just standing there being part of the scene why this is being shot. And that's why he's standing around doing nothing, just sitting there going, gee, it looks like they're making an arrest. And he's not doing anything. That would never happen in real life, sir. You would never see somebody standing there and not helping affect the arrest like that.
And here, the badge phenomena, you know, the one that it's sewn on as a patch and the other where it's misaligned, even though there are clearer features of the shirt that make it impossible to misalign if you just put it on properly. So these are killer distinction details that just discount the whole bloody business. And of course,
I would agree. I would agree, sir, 100%.
And Danny, of course, here we have the actor, the guy they arrested, you know, in one of his porn films. I mean, give me a break, you know. They wanted to find somebody who is so repulsive to idolize and even deify. Danny, I mean, this thing is such a monstrous scam. It's almost beyond belief. And you even have then, you have Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and the rest are all kneeling in obeisance to George Floyd. Give me a break.
King Kamehameha in the background, huh?
Vaughn, give us your thoughts about these latest.
No. I mean, I appreciate everything you guys are saying because this is new information for me, and I do appreciate that. I mean, you know, one other thing I do want to bring up, which I don't know if you brought up or not, but as you may have heard, Chauvin was assaulted and knifed approximately 20 to 30 times while in prison, and the person who knifed him was apparently an old FBI informant. Do you know anything about that?
We know it happened, of course. I mean, I think the effort was to just, you know, make Chauvin disappear, that he was dead, and then no one talks about him, and they don't reflect on the fact that we got multiple actors playing this same officer in this historically crucial case. Danny, your thoughts.
Yeah, I have, that's a good question. I got thoughts about that, and I'll tell you exactly what I think about that. There is no Derek Chauvin in jail, okay? There is no, and I want to be clear about this, and here's what I found out. I looked into Derek Chauvin, okay? And it's not hard to do because he has a law enforcement credential. Like all officers, you can look them up, okay? Especially if you have their real name. If you don't have their real name, you can't look them up. Here's the problem when I looked up Mr. Chauvin. Mr. Chauvin is a ghost. He has no law enforcement credential. And as a matter of fact, he does not exist in the state of Minnesota in any of the records. Where he did exist, though, sir, to be fair, where he did exist is in Florida. I found him in Florida. I found his wife in Florida. His wife has a medical license. I was able to look at her medical license very clearly. Okay, I couldn't see what he did in Florida, but I could see that his wife had a medical license. I can also find out they were registered to vote in Florida. And I can see they voted in the election in Florida. But guess what? There's nothing that shows that they live anywhere in the state of Minnesota. Nowhere. No housing address, no records, no nothing. No law enforcement credential, zero. And then they made a further mistake, sir, by bringing Derek Chauvin's wife into the picture. And what they did on the news is they said that Derek Chauvin's wife was a realtor in Minnesota and that she was getting some guff about being married to the famous Derek Chauvin, right? So as soon as I heard that, I thought, okay, that's interesting. All realtors, and John can attest to this, all realtors must be licensed, okay? They're a public figure.
Okay, hold on, Danny. Hold on. We'll be right back. And also, when we return, I want to review what I had to say about this back in 2020, because it looks like we got a lot of confirmation here. Stand by.
Radio at freedomslips.com, and we'll be right back after this message.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
If you think for 1 second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourself. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, just to present or review my take, which I presented on 5 December 2020 during the first False Flag and Conspiracies Conference I organized, where I've now had four, doing each of them in December, I was presenting, you know, the basic argument of the George Floyd bait and switch when I addressed this case. When he was arrested, he was handcuffed behind his back. It went into a police car, which had taken him for booking. But he was taken out on the other side and put on the ground. What they took out the other side was a black mannequin torso. Now, I respond to a lot of different research by individuals. Perhaps I should have corrected the text because I just kept his, you know, the way he expressed himself. Question, did the cops throw the guy down hard enough to knock his hair off? Just wondering, he writes, because I see his head there. Then all of a sudden he doesn't have hair, asking for a country. I'm not quite sure he meant by that, but no, the point is impeccable as we've been reviewing. And of course, we've looked a lot at this, but get this little video here where they pick him up and it doesn't have the properties it should have. Now, we're not getting the audio here, but that's okay. It's just a little music laugh track, but get this. Here you go, and what's missing? No legs. And it, then
his arms are missing. His arms are missing.
His arms are also missing. Yeah, yeah, Danny. So what I propose, we've got this African-American torso training dummy that they seem to have used. You ain't even got a photograph, but this is it. Sigma 7. This is a company actually based in Minneapolis. African-American torso airway trainer. Only $4,360. Realistic facial features and skin tone. Realistic biomechanics of the jaw, neck, tongue, and spigot. Supports Selleck maneuver training, realistic mass distribution reinforces proper patient positioning techniques, support both oral and nasal intubation, supports confirmation of intubation via autocirculation and chest excursion, chest raise, accurate simulation of common incubation errors such as right mainstream intubation and esophageal intubation, full range of motion of head and neck, 40 degree left and right uncentered, voltet to the sniff position, fateful creation of vocal cords, tracheal rings, and bifurcation geometry. The advanced airway module prioritized simulation of human tissue characteristic delicacy and recreation of the anatomical structures and geometry typical of human anatomy. And of course, this is an African-American torso. And I believe that's what we had there on the ground. Vaughn, I'm very interested, since this is new to you, what do you think?
Well, I mean, this is new information to me, and I regret not seeing your earlier episode on this. But this, yes, this is grounds for a new trial or for some kind of expose, but good luck getting that on the media. You know what I mean?
Sure.
No, I do appreciate you bringing this information forward. This is information. I mean, I did see the fall of Minneapolis, which basically turned me against the establishment media portrayal of what happened. And your additional evidence is all the more supportive.
Something
needs to be done.
We're showing it was deeper and darker than even the fall of Minneapolis was portraying. John, your thoughts.
Microphone.
Yeah.
I was watching all this. I have a little bit of a different opinion because I've seen a lot of this stuff live. I analyzed it a couple of years ago. In fact, there was a guy that was an attorney in Texas who claimed the real George Floyd. He went and had him as a client, and he died. Another George Floyd, same description. Died in Texas.
Not
was supposedly two different heights or something.
Yeah, not the same description. This is the only photo Danny could find of the real George Floyd. It was a bit of a dandy. He was much shorter, smaller, totally different. Right. This is the real George Floyd, John.
Yeah, no, I understand. I had contact with this other attorney, so it was another piece of evidence that showed that it may have been an actor. That's what I'm supporting.
Danny, your thoughts.
Well, I'm glad you played that video, sir, because I gave you the photo that you showed of the gurney, if you go back to that. And then you played the video, and you can see when they pick the person up or whatever with the no hair, you can see that he has no arms when they put him on the stretcher,
yeah.
The legs.
Let's keep talking.
You know,
here we go.
I just want to use a page from your playbook, sir. You're one of the most famous critical thinkers in the world. I mean, there's just no doubt about it. I've been watching you for years. And what are the odds, sir, that somebody could come along and say, well,
go ahead, Danny.
You're picking this apart, and yeah, okay, you're finding these outtakes and these anomalies. But you know what? Maybe the media made a mistake, and they put this in there, but it still really happened. I mean, that's absurd, sir. I know we're going to go on to the rest of the film, and there's some other things too, but when you look at this thing objectively, this is nothing but a hoax and a fake and a fraud. There was no trial. The trial was nothing but a show trial with some actors to try to fool the public that this was a real event. It's a rabbit trail story. The story of Derek Chauvin being stabbed in jail is called a rabbit trail story. It's put out there to make the public continue to believe that the original story was real. Oh, yeah, he was stabbed in jail. Did you hear? No, he was never in jail. There's no jail. There's no trial. There's no Derek Chauvin. It never happened, sir. Never happened. And like you pointed out, what a great ruse to kill the character off in jail and then you never have to see him again, right? Because everybody's going to be thinking, oh, he's dead. He's 6 feet under. We're never going to see that guy again. I'm sure we're going to see him pop up as another actor. He was at the Boston bombing. He was at the Sandy Hook He was at the George Floyd event where he played a cop there. And I'm sure we're going to see him again, probably with his head shaved, totally different look. But I guarantee you, when we do a side-by-side a year from now at another event, we're going to say, look, isn't that Derek Chauvin? There's the same ear. There's the same jawline. He'll show up again. This whole thing is a fabrication of actors to put on a ruse to the public. And we showed that in the gas station photo, if you want to pull that up. 99 cents. 99 upside down is 66. Divisible by 2 is 33. And there we have it again, sir. Why is it in these high-profile events, time and time again, sir, you show this, we always see the magic number 6633 in the background to let us know that this is a fake or a phony event. And this is just another example. You can clearly see diesel has not been 99 cents since the mid-90s to the late 90s. It's a joke, sir. This whole thing is a fabricated television show. It was shot on a closed set on the street that day. It was shot in multiple takes on different days with different actors, where they put a resuscitation dummy in there. They took the dummy out. They put the fake George Floyd in there. He's got hair one second, then he doesn't have hair the next second. I mean, if anybody wants to use any critical thinking skills, you can obviously see, sir, this was all set up by a fake, phony video as a ruse. This was a pre-planned op, an event put on to the American public.
Yeah, and I don't. Simple, sir. Yeah. You've done a wonderful job with this, Danny. I can tell John has reservations. John, I want you to go ahead and give us your take. I don't care if it's different from ours. You go right ahead.
Okay. Well, what I was thinking was I had done a critique of the same incident on another show. With some other people in upstate Washington State or whatever. But even the original arrest, and I am former law enforcement, I did work the streets, the Muslim-looking officer did not follow procedures. They got the guy out of the vehicle. They cuffed him up. He's dropping dime bags all over the place. And then they took two other black male and female, out of the van or the vehicle, let him stand around out in the open, took the George Floyd guy off to the other vehicle to secure him, which was poorly done, and let the other people go back into the van and pick out their dope or guns or dynamite or whatever they had in there and let it go. It was all screwed up. So that supports what you guys are saying in a different angle, but it's all messed up. And it's very possible they did film it piece by piece because it didn't show congruity. You know, it wasn't consistent with what they were doing there. So it didn't match up. You don't let two suspects stand out on the sidewalk while you're taking one guy. You take all three of them out, cuffed up. So it looked like a training film, a really bad training film.
All right. Can I ask one question, Jim?
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm wondering, you know, since I'm a novice to a lot of this new information, what is the ultimate goal of this canard? I mean, what's your opinion? What do they want to do or leave the public aware of or whatever about this? What's the ultimate goal of this canard?
Well, it's an aspect of what's known as cultural Marxism. They want to destroy the identity of the nation, our memories, our history. They take down the statues for that purpose. They're flooding the country with migrants that create a homogeneous population. They have done a diagnosis, Vaughn, that the fault lines in America have to do with our history related to the Civil War, tensions between black and white, which have largely been overcome by virtue especially of the election of a black man president, not once but twice. So they felt that was the mode by which they could exploit tensions and undermine the system of justice and law enforcement. Remember, this was all intended by defunding the police. In other words, they're trying to turn America into chaos from a legal and policing point of view so they can reconstruct it as a kind of communitarian or communist closer to the ideal. It's a part, one very important part of a very ambitious program to completely transform America. And you may or may not recall, Barack Obama that said that was his objective, to transform America. This is part of it.
Your thought? Communist plot, like, go back to Rodney King. It's the same playbook, same thing.
Vaughn, go ahead. Give us your thoughts, Vaughn. I'm glad to have. You're a very smart guy. You're very perceptive. And even in a situation where you hadn't seen this familiar evidence, you're obviously absorbing and processing it highly accurately, in my judgment. So I welcome your questions and comments. I think this is simply excellent that you happen to be here to encounter this for the first time. Tell me more of your thoughts about it.
Well, what do we need to do to alert the public to this? Unfortunately, we're a small minority. The vast majority of people assume that it was a legitimate trial and a legitimate action, and that blacks have been discriminated against and their arson and vandalism was perfectly, justified. What do we do to alert the public besides your programs, Jim? What do we do? I mean, we're shut out of the major media. I don't know. I mean, I'm just wondering, what do you think? What can we do to prevent this type of thing happening again?
Well, unfortunately, in 2020, we had a full-on committed Zionist woke administration come into office that was intent upon promoting this kind of absurdity to destroy America, and thus open the borders and initially destroyed XL pipeline and independence and all the other good stuff that Trump had done. And their zeal, not just to be anti-Trump, but remember, Trump was a nationalist putting America first. This is a globalist administration. They want to put America last. They want to put us in our place. They want to take away our guns. They want to take away our identity. They want to take away our ability to defend ourselves under any circumstance. And they're doing a hell of a job of it. And the problem is, it ultimately would require a solution at the national level. I think Trump can actually set a lot of these things right if he can get back into office. Remember, he not only made us energy independent, but he cut down, migration at the border to a trickle. I mean, that in and of itself, while I fault him for being overly supportive of Israel, and I'm increasingly unhappy with him about that issue, when you compare the alternatives, given we have basically two choices, he's clearly preferable and can do more to help Americans set right the ship of state than the alternative. And I do believe Biden will be replaced. He's not actually going to be on the ticket. I mean, his popularity, Vaughn, at this point has dropped to 8%, would you believe? I had a report on that yesterday. Actual popularity of Biden down to 8%. That's why, when you have everyone turning against Israel, the United States continuing to support Israel, he's got to make a feeble effort, at least a phone call to Bibi, to tell him this must be brought to an end, because, the Democrat Party is self-destructing. I mean, this is a more effective self-immolation than a Buddhist monk protesting the Vietnam War, as I see it. But.
Yeah, no, very good points. And, I don't know. I mean, we do need, things need to change. And I hope Trump, if he does get elected, if they allow him to be elected the second time around, I certainly hope he learns from all he's been through and actually drains the swamp.
Yeah.
Instead of, after getting elected, not doing the butchery that needs to be done to correct our horrible, horrible government system.
Vaughn, in a way, this feeds right into the issues you want to address about how we can do a better job of electing representatives at all levels of government. Why don't you launch right into that now, and we'll continue. We do have one more break at the bottom of the hour, but for what reason, ever reason, it's frequently not played. So we'll have a lot of the rest of the show, and we can tie in back and forth all these issues, Vaughn. Please tell us about your lottery system idea.
Yeah, well, first of all, let me point out, I think there is literally going to be a revolution. I'm not saying that just to be provocative. There is going to be a revolution, and there's a couple of reasons for that. One, I think about a third of our government income or financing goes to service the debt, and we're accumulating interest debt at the rate of $1 trillion a month. I was looking at this up yesterday. And by 2031, all of the income will be devoted to servicing the debt. Okay, so that's one issue. And then the second issue is that the American currency is worthless. It's a fiat currency. And, you know, when the people come to realize that foreigners are not interested in holding dollars anymore, we're going to have runaway inflation that'll make Weimar Germany look like a first world country. So those are kind of the background issues that I see leading us up to a revolution. And what I propose as a solution to this is a government by lottery. Have a unicameral Congress and then just have representatives selected by an arbitrary lottery. And the advantage to that is no more, campaign financing. I mean, the representatives could be in office, say, for 3 years, but they wouldn't be beholden to oligarchs or to special interests. In fact, the prime directive of a lotterist government is to strip them of any constituency so that they only have before their mind what's good for the nation as a whole. And as for their income, our representatives who in a lotterist government, again, are selected using Social Security numbers, their income should be the average income of the average American, which I think around now, well, for the average family, I think it's $75,000 last time I checked. They should not be paid $175,000. And even aside from that issue, and feel free to cut me off, gentlemen, if you want to
interrupt. No, go on. I'll manage the flow. Go ahead, Juan.
All right. Yeah, the average, and the most recent information I had on this was, I think, from 2018. The average cost for winning a seat in the House of Representatives was $2 million, and the average cost for securing a Senate seat was $7 million. Now, obviously, politicians have to get that money, so they're beholden to their contributors. They have to play to their constituencies. I remember a former senator from Minnesota. What was his name? He was on
Paul Wellstone
on Saturday Night Live.
Al Franken.
He said that he spent half his time soliciting money for being reelected. And then the other, the main advantage of a lottery system is that the population would be demographically represented in the assembly. 50% would be women, 13% would be African American, 19% would be Hispanic, and so on.
You mean assuming that were the outcome of the lottery, that it gave a roughly random distribution, which isn't guaranteed, but is more likely than not. It's just, you're going to have a bell-shaped distribution with a lottery, too, of how it's going to turn out. But the vast majority are going to be more representative than what we have. It won't be perfect, however, Vaughn, unless you somehow built that into the system.
No, there's a lot of things that also need to be addressed. But one other thing I want to mention now, especially since what's going on in Gaza, two classes of people would be excluded from the lotterist government. The first class would be people who are currently serving prison time. And the second class would be people who have dual citizenship. So anyone with dual citizenship would be excluded, whether that's de jure or in de facto. Anyone with dual citizenship would be prohibited from serving in a lotterist Congress. And, speaking for myself, that would, while it wouldn't affect me, it would affect my own wife and children since they are dual citizens. But also to the point the Jewish community are all dual citizens of Israel. Whether they accept it or not, they are de facto dual citizens. And they would be excluded from a lotterist government for that reason. And I think that would go a long way towards correcting the the barbaric support we provide Israel.
Well, this is all.
A lot of places.
This is all extremely interesting and imaginative, Danny. Your kind of first gut level reaction to what Vaughn is proposing.
Well, sir, I'd like to back up. That was such a broad brush that he covered. There was at least five gears there, five different topics that he covered. So if I could, just
please,
on the first topic,
sure,
I'd like to compliment John on his observation on the arrest, and just to compliment what he said when they arrested. And I have to go back to this because it's a very key point, sir, that he brought up. This is critical, what he brought up, that during the arrest, when they pulled the actor out of the van, the other suspects were allowed to wander around and get out of the van and do what they want to do. That would never happen, sir, in real life. Never. I mean, never. And here's the point. The reason why that would never happen is there'd be another officer on the other side of the door. If anybody even tried to come out, he would close the door and tell them to stay in the vehicle. Everybody is brought out of the vehicle one by one and placed in the handcuffs as they're brought out and either sat in a police car or on the curb or whatever to control the suspects. You don't want people in the van roaming around, messing around with dope or guns or whatever contraband that you could have in there. You have to control the suspects. And in agencies all across the country on a daily basis, every single county, when they make a traffic stop like that, everybody goes into handcuffs. So that was a brilliant observation that John made to further show that that was pure acting, not a real situation whatsoever. And then I'd also like to address part of that, the broad brush that he just scoped when he said, what is the point of the whole operation in the first place? Why did they come up with this ruse? Well, let's take a look at that. They got every single official, county mayors, governors, and especially district attorneys, and everyone needs to think about this. They got them to stand down across the country in different cities and allowed paid rioters, sponsored by George Soros, paid rioters to
Danny,
come, and they let them turn.
Danny, we're being hit with a break. They are playing it today, and we'll pick up right after. Stand by.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Ah.
join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Danny, please continue with your comments on, I think, as many as five different issues. Go for it.
Well, sir, what I was trying to say there in the beginning is to back up. I started off with complimenting John with what he said, with his observation was so true. But this is the point I'm trying to make. How powerful are these globalists to come up with a pre-planned event like this, where they can go to so many different cities and counties in different states, and they can get the entire government there to stand down? And here's what I mean. They move these paid protesters from city to city, and they got the police to completely stand down, not only in Minnesota, but in other cities, and let them riot and burn properties to the ground. They lit fires. They committed violent felonies, beating citizens up on the street. There were several citizens that were killed over this, and there was no investigations going on whatsoever. The police stood there and were standing there with handcuffs on, being told, you will control by paycheck and pension. You will allow them and give them room to do their business and go ahead and pillage the city. Loot the businesses. Light them on fire. Arson is you could be executed. In prison, you could be executed. That could be capital punishment for committing arson like that. But they allowed them to burn these buildings down in the name of keeping this event going, to add more fuel to the fire. And for that to happen, sir, that ought to scare every American citizen everywhere in the United States, that we can have an entity put on an event to allow the entire country to be set, not the entire country, but many cities to be demolished like that, where these felons can run through. Then we have the politicians coming forward towards the end of the show, where they, even Kamala Harris was fighting to get the violent felons that had been arrested for arson, stabbing people, hitting people over the head, looting, committing massive felony property damage, and she was lobbying to get them removed from jail so they can go to another city and do it all over again. We had several of these suspects, sir, arrested in multiple cities, the same suspect arrested in multiple cities, and every single time they were let go by a corrupt district attorney that would just wash his hands. That's treason, sir. That district attorney is beholden to the people that elected them. And to just simply let a violent felon go so he can go off and do it in another city because it's part of an op that you were prepared for. sir, there was so many multiple levels of treason and in this whole event to try and what, demonize Trump, to put a massive distraction on television, to cause him a headache and more problems, to distract him from doing other things that he was doing. There's multiple facets for them doing this, but I'd like to point out the high level of treason that was committed on the American people and the power that the globalists had and the strategy to coordinate all of this to happen across the United States with the property damage and the fire. It's incomprehensible, sir, that they were able to do it at this kind of level, and it showed the massive, deep corruption that we have in our country with multiple mayors and governors allowing this to happen, sir. It's just over-the-top corruption. I just wanted to make sure I pointed that out.
Oh, I think that is a great point. Great point. John, I know you want to add thoughts. John.
Now, this is in support of what Danny just said. And I did a show on another show years ago. Remember the Mandalay Bay shooting?
Sure.
The chief of police, when the FBI came in and they took over the case, they shut him down. He was practically in tears. It's interesting, and I'm not discussing the whole case because I know a lot of information. Isn't it interesting that the same chief of police left Nevada, Las Vegas area? Yeah, but, went to a place called Hawaii.
But John, I do a lot about that. I've got, you know, a huge amount on Las. But how does that tie into this? I mean, you know, we got this George Floyd. We got the Summer of Love. That's a whole separate matter from Lahaina, directed energy weapons and all that.
Exactly what Danny was saying.
How is it the same thing, John?
The FBI stepped in and took over the investigation. This is typically what the procedure is. Once the feds pull in and they say it's a federal case, the locals have to step down.
Well,
and then this guy shows up in Lahaina.
We know in Las Vegas that those who weren't part of the scam, and there were about 500 crisis actors by my estimate distributed in the concert, were turning over their laptops and their cell phones with video, and the FBI was wiping them clean. I mean, that's not enforcing or investigating. That's outrageous. Danny, back to you, Danny. Go ahead.
Well, sir, I know we're not touching on Vegas, but what you just said, the FBI was wiping the cell phones clean because there were a lot of people that took cell phone footage of the crisis actors, and they wanted to make sure that, you know, they wanted to try and wipe out the evidence of the event. So that's obviously why they were wiping out the phone. But, you know, I hear what John said about the, you know, it's a good point about the corruption. We had two different guys. We have one officer move, one police chief moved to another jurisdiction. So he was part of one event, and then they move him in charge of another place where there's going to be another, you know, big crisis event. So we're seeing similar things, but moving back to the movie and the George Floyd thing, there was so much control, sir, with these district attorneys. I just want to tell everybody, a district attorney does not stand down and allow. Can you imagine, sir, if you were a district attorney and the globalists came to you and they said, you know, Dr. Fetzer, we need you to completely halt your justice system in your state or your county. And we want you to go ahead and allow these paid black actors, they're all felons, by the way, because we hired them, right? We want you to allow them to go ahead and burn down your Walmarts and your, you know, some of your grocery stores and all that. And we want you to tell all of your police that they're just stand there and observe it. And if some of them actually make an arrest, we want you to go ahead and drop all the charges and let them out because, you know, we're going to need them in another city. And we can't afford to keep, you know, you can't be locking them up like this because they're paid to do this. Do you understand? Can you imagine the absurdity, sir, of the globalists coming to you and trying to rue you into this con? You know what I'm saying? With your character. Imagine the fraud that they pulled off city after city after city when they did this. And the overall that they were able to do and get away with what they were able to get away with. I mean, it's just treasonous beyond treasonous. And the American public ought to, if this doesn't wake you up, to the amount and level of corruption that's in our government, sir, I don't know what will. This was over the top event, sir.
Yeah.
The nuclear event that hit the United States. It was absolutely amazing.
Danny, I think you're right. Vaughn, your thoughts.
Just to tie in what I was talking about earlier, the system is irredeemably corrupt. It's littered and very well staffed with people who are compromised. And for that reason, we do need a complete change in our government from a so-called democratic representative government, which is just littered with criminality and bribery and all what have you. We need to promote a system whereby average citizens can people our government, people who are not beholden to anyone, be it special interests, financial interests, or what have you. And I would go so far as to argue that it's, and I'm glad to hear Danny agrees with me that the system is irredeemably corrupt. I would argue that voting in this system, this duopoly, is immoral. It's immoral to vote in this political system we have here, because by voting, you're affirming the legitimacy of the government. And the government is illegitimate. And the other thing I want to mention here as well is that, the Congress people are not beholden to there's a rubber stamp election after the oligarchs and the power brokers decide who the candidates will be. And the government repeatedly commits treason against the population. And Danny, where to what court do you bring the government and charge treason against the government of the United States as acting against the interests of the American public? It's that bad. And I'll just let Danny or Jim or John respond to that.
Go ahead, Danny.
Well, sir, here's what I would say to that. During the last two elections, and I've been on a few shows with you covering this, there was so much rampant fraud that was in your face that the globalists showed us that they didn't care. Here's a couple of examples. In California, I think it was Nevada, I can't remember every single state, but I know I saw California specifically, there were ballots that they found after the elections dumped in the hillside, found by joggers. And when they opened up the bag, it was ballots and ballots of Republican votes and Trump votes. Okay. And it happened again in the midterm election. Even in the midterm, they were so lazy, sir, they couldn't even shred the ballots. They just dumped them on a hillside in trash bags. And that, I remember that made the media slightly. It made the media. That shows you the level of treason that is in. They have clearly shown us, clearly, that they are not going to allow us to vote, that they are going to control the vote, and that they are going to pick who gets in office and who doesn't. They are going to have a control and make sure they have the majority in the area so they have the control. Once in a while, they'll allow one person to get in the office that they don't like just to make it kind of look like somebody got in, right? But they control it. And you know what? In California, it's so corrupt with the judges that there's no auditing of the system. Every time there's fraud and it's brought up by a lawyer, you're not even allowed to investigate voter fraud in California. You can't even, they've made it illegal to even say, hey, wait a minute, you're cheating there. You can't even question that they've made it. They've made this illegal ballot harvesting legalized in California to where they can go ahead and print ballots and fake an election. They don't even count the ballots in California. They're trying to do a mail-in ballot again, permanent, without anybody's permission. They had the last primary election they just had, they automatically started mailing ballots out again without anybody's permission. No poll open. What is going on here? They're just going with the status quo again, that they're going to do the ballot thing. They announced the winners of the election, within minutes. But yet, weeks later, people will get a notification saying, oh, your ballot was counted. Well, simply, sir, all they're doing is taking the ballot out, scanning it, and then they shred it somewhere, and there's no policing this. You cannot raise a question. I don't care if you're a police officer, a fireman. You are not allowed to go to the ballot counting center. You're not allowed to know where the ballot counting centers are in California. You just have to go along with the fraud. And every time a lawyer brings it up, it gets smashed down. They have a judge in every single place that when it comes to the voting, that every single time any kind of investigation is completely shut down. And when you have that level of a corruption, when you can't even question an election, you can't question a ballot, you can't question anything. You have to go along with the fraud, even when it's in your face, and then they find the ballots. Sir, we're so over the top with the corruption. I'm afraid the only way that this is ever going to be resolved, there's Man. Two ways. One, the military comes in. And they leave the system and they come in and they wipe everything out and start again. That's one way. The second way would be a revolution, some kind of a civil war. Barring those two events, sir, we're going to live with this corruption because they've proven that they got enough of it in place. There's nothing we can do about it. And they don't care anymore if we see it. They're just going to roll on and do it and keep doing it so the same people can remain in power. Because if they were ever kicked out of power with legitimate government, we'd probably see a roundup of a lot of them going to jail. So they're just going to keep going and going. And I have a fear, sir, for the rest of our lives, we're just going to keep seeing this over and over again, unless we see the military come in or we see some kind of a civil disturbance or war break out to overturn this, sir. And it's a very scary thought.
Well, Danny, I think what you're suggesting is the fall of Minneapolis presages the collapse of the United States. And I think that's absolutely correct. I think you've got it right. John, your thoughts?
Yeah, good points, Danny. I was just thinking, I used to work at the border 15 years, and the Mexican nationals have a really good voter ID registration card with a photograph, thumbprint, verified address, electric bill, and all that, connected to their Social Security in their country, all these numbers. I suggested that before Trump came into office. Nothing happened. But he did bring it up in a speech somewhere. He brought it up, but nothing was changed. He had the authority to do the Insurrection Act. He had the authority to prevent all the voter Dominion server fraud. Nothing happened. Nobody made any arrests on all the other things that were going on. But it follows exactly what you're saying, because they're controlling it no different than we are, a third country. And they picked their people in Mexico. They could vote all day long, and we're in the same boat. And I have a confidential voting ballot because I'm law enforcement, and they know by the codes on the envelopes, and I already asked the people at the San Diego County Registrar Voters and the state Secretary of State in California about it. Kamala Harris knows how you vote. She knows how you're registered before you even vote. See what I mean? So we're on a good guy list and a bad guy list. And the other people, it doesn't matter. So they're picking it like a communist country. Same thing. That's my opinion. But that's why they assassinated Donald Pelosi over in Mexico, because he really was winning the vote. And they couldn't do it another way. So they just killed him. That's why I'm always concerned for the people running for office in this election, if you want to call it an election.
Vaughn.
Can I just add one comment?
Please.
My mother thinks that the problem is with paper ballots and that illegal aliens are going to, cast paper ballots and change the political geography. I think a more important and central problem is computerized balloting without
a paper trail.
Paper to back up the election results. I think, and like Danny said, in California, they discovered some ballots on a hill. I think that could have been public relations, for the public to let them to believe that, these paper ballots are important and we are uncovering fraud about these paper ballots. In all honesty, I think the paper ballots is a non-issue. I think the real issue is the manipulation of the electronic voting machines that do not have a paper backup. And if I'm not mistaken, over half of the states in the U.S., over half, just rely on computerized voting, which is extremely easy to corrupt. Well, so
Ron, I'd put it the other way around. The problem is the electronic voting machines. We need to go back to paper ballots and hand counts. I mean, just get rid of the electronic voting machines. They ought to be illegal. They were introduced to steal elections, and they're still stealing elections. Get rid of them. Ban them. We need to go back to paper ballots, hand counts, and as John was suggesting, a voter ID, that is, a secure ID, a real ID. Danny, your thoughts?
No, I agree with you. I would prefer government by lottery, but at a minimum, there should be a paper trail that can be used to corroborate the outcome of an election, and right now we don't have that.
Yes.
I agree with you,
Danny. Yeah. I mean, the theft of the election is wholesale, just as Danny describes. Danny, further thoughts of yours?
Well, John had it right with the voter ID, sir. And, you know, they're not going to do it. They don't do it in California. You can be, you know, Mickey Mouse and walk into a poll and they give you a ballot and let you vote. I mean, they're, you know, we have to show ID when we go to the bank. Now, sometimes when you go to the doctor, I mean, you know, you have to show ID all the time, show it to a police officer. If you get stopped, you have to have, you know, all these different things we all have to have as a law abiding citizen. We all know this and we understand it. But a most critical thing of voting, that you don't have to have any form of ID. Not only should you have ID, you should have to have a picture ID that matches a picture ID at the poll. But they don't do this at the poll. I don't know if you've ever noticed the poll workers, but the poll workers are very unprofessional, sir. In my opinion, when we have our big votes, we should have either National Guard, MPs, military personnel standing around the polls, just doing the basics and the checks of the ID, working with the civilians. We should have sheriff deputies in there, just making sure that we got legal people voting. Just to show people, hey, we're serious about this, okay? You are not going to come into a poll with it being an illegal migrant, and you're not going to come in here and vote and try to corrupt our election. But they don't do that. There's multiple ways, sir, to clean this up, multiple ways. I can only imagine being a sheriff deputy and standing around inside of a poll, and I'm watching the lines coming in. I'm walking around back and forth at the tables and observing. I'd be like, excuse me, sir, I want to see your driver's license, please. Can I see your photo ID? Well, and he doesn't speak English. Excuse me, do you have a photo ID? How about seeing a passport? Do you have anything? I would be able to pull these people out of line, sir, and put people in cuffs for committing. It's a felony. It's a felony to go in and vote fraudulently in our election. It's a minimum of 5 years in prison. But they're just openly doing this in our face, constantly doing this in California. No voter ID required. We just pointed out yesterday, well, what about these swing states where all of a sudden there's a big surge of Democrat voters being registered with no photo ID? That made the press. Nobody cares about that. No one's suspicious that they happen to be Democrats. I mean, how many times has California been caught taking illegal migrants and registering as a Democrat voter through the DMV? Even the DMV is corrupt and has been caught. Why are they being registered as Democrats automatically? They give them a driver's license based on a bubblegum wrapper, and then right there at the DMV counter, they're registered as a voter with no ID whatsoever, just the fake driver's license that they issued. It shows the globalist power, sir. They've converted the driver's license in California to be almost like a passport. Illegals get a driver's license. They go to the welfare office. That opens the ticket. They start collecting money. They start getting the food stamps. Sir, it's so over-the-top corruption, the way they have their hands and their tentacles in these different departments, sir. I don't know how this is ever going to be reversed. They're already showing us they're going to commit voter fraud by registering these voters in these swing states right in their face with no voter ID.
Yeah.
Nobody's doing anything. There's no police. There's no DA. There's nobody going and checking to see what's going on. It's just happening. There's nothing you can do. And it's another example of the globalists don't care if you see the corruption at this point, because they know that there's nothing you can do about it. You're going to sit back. You're going to watch it. And you're going to let us commit the corruption in your face, and you're not going to do anything about it. And that's exactly what we're seeing. Nothing's going to happen.
Excellent, excellent, Danny. Just a final round here before we must conclude. John, your final thoughts.
Well, I was supporting. Danny's right. I've been investigating the same stuff. I've got sources at the border. I'll give a nationality. The Haitians. The Haitians are coming in. They go 2 years to Mexico. They learn to speak Spanish. They get the fast track process. When they hold up their smartphone, they go through the border and they scan it. It lets them in under amnesty or asylee status. Then they get jobs at Walmart delivering my water that I need because I can't go doing stuff because of a bad back routine. But they get Social Security. They get free rent. They get $5,000 a month to survive and a nice new car. The ID card is right in there. And in California, you have to have it federally approved to use it so you can go into certain buildings. You can fly on aircraft, which makes it like an immigration type of a deal. But you had to show a birth certificate. I tried to show an expired passport and a passport ID card, and they wouldn't accept it, but they would take a piece of paper that was my birth certificate out of another state. You see, there's fallacies in this, but that's what they're doing. But yet they won't do a voter ID card like Mexico or other countries. But they're allowing this stuff to come in. Just like Danny said, there's nothing we can do about it because they're letting it happen and they're all being registered as Democrats. That's a Trojan horse that we're experiencing right now.
Vaughn, your final thoughts, and I'm so pleased you could join us today.
Well, thanks, Jim. I have to disagree a bit with John and Danny. I do think that the fundamental problem is computerized voting without a paper trail. And I do think that the balloting issue is really a non-issue because the government wants you to think the corruption is with the paper ballots when the fact of the matter is the corruption is with the pre-programmed voting machines that over half the states use without a paper trail to show who won an election. So I'll just leave it at that.
Well, I just add, you get rid of the electronic voting machine, you go back to paper ballots, demand voter ID. I think 90% of the problems evaporate, but we have to be ever vigilant, and we've not. We have a government that's corrupting the voting system to remain in power, and I think Danny had a really key point. They're going to do everything they can to retain their power and control because they know if they lose it, they may be hauled into court and suffer justice for the corrupt act. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.
Join me and the Brian Ruse Show on Revolution Radio, Eastern Standard Time, every Tuesday night from 6 to 8. We talk about the four most vital things, in my view, affecting all of humanity. Number one is UFOs and aliens and their agenda for the advancement of humanity. Number two is the Jewish establishment's control over all aspects of human civilization. Number three, the truth about Adolf Hitler, how he was the opposite of what we've been told. Number four is advanced ancient global civilizations. Join me on the Brian Ruse Show, Tuesday nights from 6 to 8 on Studio B on Revolution Radio.
Industrial Complex podcast here on Revolution Radio, Studio B, every Wednesday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Get fit, empowered, physically, mentally, and spiritually.
My name is Mr. Rowe,
I am the host of Reality Extraction, Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. I utilize logic, intellect, and magic to methodically autonomize, vivisect, analyze, examine, study, scrutinize, and extract an essence of reality from a fog of illusion and confusion.